Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online. If there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, friends, recently we told you about the addition of CSN, the nearly 400-station Christian satellite network. And with its coverage, of course, Basic Gospel now reaches into areas and lives where we've never gone before, and that is exciting. But the news, Bob and Richard, just keeps on getting better. Just recently, we formalized an agreement to broadcast Basic Gospel on Family Talk, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Channel 131. Now, no matter where you live in the U.S. or Canada, with a Sirius XM satellite receiver, you can hear Basic Gospel every weeknight at 11 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 Pacific, and that begins tonight. So we're excited about that. So I think combined with our strategic network of standard AM and FM stations, partnering with CSN and Family Talk on Channel 131 actually makes Basic Gospel a very powerful voice over North America to reach new people and help them hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ.
Well, Bob, we couldn't be more excited about this opportunity, this great experience of being able to be a voice into so many people's lives. And this gospel message, as we've talked about time and time again here, and if you're brand new, if you're tuning in for the first time today, you're going to hear us say this time and time again, that this gospel message is by grace through faith in Jesus. So it's his death, his burial, his resurrection. That's the grace of God. As we respond in faith, we're saved. And that's the way we live as well. It's by grace through faith in Jesus. That is the Christian life. And we've been talking about this month, and we're going to look at a passage in Hebrews chapter 10 and chapter 11. In chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "But my righteous one will live by faith." So how are we to live as believers in Christ? By faith. That's where we struggle so much. That's why the Christian life is so difficult to us, is because faith is a foreign concept. We've grown up with rules and regulations. We've grown up with rituals. We've grown up with traditions. We've grown up with those sort of things. Faith is something brand new to us when we come to Christ. And only when we come to Christ, because faith has no meaning apart from Jesus Christ. He Correct. Is the object of our faith. So how do we believers live? By faith. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, it's not a shrinking back to the rules and regulations. That's what the Hebrews were doing. Mm-hmm. They had grown up in a way of life known as Judaism. It was centered in those Ten Commandments and those 613 other laws and rules and regulations. That's what shaped their whole existence. And now Jesus Christ had come on the scene, and he said, "I want you to come unto me. I want you to follow me. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." So the shift was from their old way of doing things to just absolute trust, 100% trust, full weight of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that was a very difficult thing. So many of them said, "I don't know about this new Jesus thing. We've had 1,500 years of this old way of life, and we're going to continue." Yeah. So they shrunk back. They were presented the good news. Jesus stood in their midst. Jesus offered himself once and for all as that sacrifice that would take away their sins. The writer of Hebrews did a contrast between the two sacrificial systems, and in every way, the writer of Hebrews says Jesus is better, Jesus is superior, Jesus is where you need to focus, Jesus is where you need to put your attention, Jesus is who you need to trust and depend upon. And many of those Hebrews said, "No, we're going to shrink back," because this idea of faith was so foreign to them. They didn't want to let go of the old to embrace the new. But it's very clear, if we're to live as believers, we live by faith. So what does that mean? Well, in chapter 11, he defines it. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So there's the definition of faith. So let's kind of look at that and discuss what exactly that means. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So what does that mean to you, Richard, when you see those words in this definition? How does that spell itself out in our day-to-day experience?
Well, first, just about everybody I knew, including me, would read that verse, that definition, and go, amen. And then we'd walk out of church and go, huh? I have no idea what that means. Well, it helps to know that, and we've talked about this verse a lot too, Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing. Hearing is about the word of Jesus Christ, the word concerning Christ. He is the word. So, again, faith is wrapped up in Jesus. So, this assurance of things hoped for, what is that? Well, what did Jesus tell us? I'm coming back. Our future is guaranteed. Jesus died, took care of sins. He was raised, took care of the victory over death, and then he went back to heaven, and he said, look, I'm coming back. And all through the book of Revelation, look, I'm the one who was and who is to come. Behold, I'm coming quickly. And he finally just describes himself as the one who is and is to come. It just leaves out the history altogether. So this assurance of things hoped for is a guaranteed future, and it's guaranteed solely because of who Jesus is and what he has done and continues to do. And then this conviction of things not seen. Well, what did Jesus give us? He gave us forgiveness. He gave us eternal life. We get all these fruit of the Spirit, you know, Rome or Galatians 5. These are items that we can't see and touch. We can't control any of this stuff. When you're living under law, you control everything. I will not steal this piece of gold. Well, there's the gold, and here are my hands, and I leave my hands off the gold, and I walk away. I took control of myself. Well, when you're talking about walking by faith in the things that we have been given in Christ, I can't see them and control them and do the things that we humans do. I have to trust that Jesus was serious in what he said. And that's why, further down in the chapter, the writer to Hebrews said, and without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So you see what this relationship is. Jesus said, here are all these gifts. I give them to you. This is grace. I am this gift. I am all of the gifts. Will you accept me, even though you can't see me and you can't touch me?
It's great news.
It is.
That's how we live.
That's how
faith
we live.
Faith is our connection point to everything that Christ is and everything that he has for us.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
I think all these things dovetail perfectly into this brand new message of yours, Richard, called The High Cost of Legalism, just the other side of faith. This CD, friends, I tell you, it will help you identify those things that hinder you from fully believing and trusting in Jesus, along with the practical help to guide you into the fullness of God's rest. Again, it's a brand new CD that Richard has produced. It's called The High Cost of Legalism. It's yours for a gift to Basic Gospel. All you need to do is simply click donate at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. We hope you'll join us today. Open lines right now, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Lewisville, Texas, and talk with Matt, listening to us on the Word. Hi, Matt. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, friends. Thanks for taking my call.
You are so welcome. What's on your mind today?
I'm looking at a verse in 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, whatever version you're looking at, the particular part I'm looking at is that your prayers be not hindered. And I was wondering what that means, if you have any insight in that under this context, and what other things might cause our prayers to be hindered.
Well, it's interesting, Matt. I think when we read that, you know, so that nothing will hinder our prayers, I think our initial response is God isn't going to hear our prayers, that our prayers are going to become weak and useless and that sort of thing and will have no effect. I think it could mean that we won't pray. that if we're not treating our wives considerately and with respect and as sharers of this gracious gift of life, if we're doing our own thing, that's going to hinder us from praying at all. But when we recognize the preciousness of this mate that we have, that she really is a gift of God, and that our union together reflects the very love of Christ for the church, when we recognize the grand design of marriage, that moves us to pray. It says, hey, this is so sacred. This is such so much bigger than who I am and what this little marriage is all about. I need to pray and really find out what it means to be considerate, what it means to treat her with respect, what it means to share together in this gracious gift of life. So I think when we see the enormity of responsibility in marriage and how we should conduct ourselves with our mates, that moves us to pray. But if we don't see that, I think that hinders us from praying at all. And that's the way I take this.
Okay. I had never heard it spoken that way. I come from a background where what you guys are teaching against and showing me the light of God's grace and love, that the whole idea that, well, the way this was taught to me recently was that our prayer is being hindered, meaning whatever we're praying, whatever's in our life, our prayer may not reach the ears of God to what we're trying to communicate to him. And I don't agree with that by any means. But so I did want to get a better understanding of, from your perspective, your point of view, what it meant.
Well, and I think
I just wanted to ask. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I think you're spot on as far as how most of the time this passage is taught, that God isn't going to hear your prayers if you don't do these things. But
just
God,
a little bit of legalism.
That's
there.
Right. Yeah. That's part of the high cost of legalism. But God is always interested in us. He's our Father. He cares about us, and so He always says, "Cast all your cares upon Him," because He cares for us. So He's always attentive to our prayers. And if our attitudes aren't right, that doesn't mean He's turned His back on us. That doesn't mean He's looking another way. Man, He's even more attentive because He wants to get our attention to let us know that there's a better way. So He's always listening to His children. We can count on that. The grace of God assures that. The finished work of Christ guarantees it. We're in relationship with God. He is in us. We are in Him. There's always going to be that back and forth of communication. His Spirit is never going to stop speaking to us, stop renewing our mind. And we're always listening. And so we can count on that. Sometimes we choose to go our own way, do our own thing. But God continues to work. That's the joy of this relationship with Christ.
Amen. You know, I just wanted to say thank you to you guys for the podcast. This past week, my wife and I made a road trip from New York down to Dallas, and we had a bunch of the podcasts backed up and spent many hours on the road listening, and it was really enjoyable. And I just appreciate the ministry and that you guys are continuing in it and faithful in it, and it means a lot to me, and I've gotten a lot out of it. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Matt. Thanks for those kind words. We sure appreciate it, and glad we could join you on that trip from New York down to Texas. That was a good ride.
Yeah, we enjoyed it.
Thanks very much.
All right. God bless, Matt. Thank you for your call.
Great question that Matt posed to get the program underway today. We'd love for you to pose your question as well. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742. Good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. A Facebook question from Shelley, and it's about Christian living. She says, I was teaching a Bible study on contrasts in the Bible. When I taught the difference between sinner and saints, a friend asked what I thought about myself, thought about calling myself a sinner saved by grace. I said I would not use the term because that was not my identity anymore. I prefer to focus on who I am in Christ. She said that Paul referred to himself as the chief of sinners. So what are you guys thinking?
Well, we were sinners, we were saved by grace, and we have a new identity.
Yes.
And that identity is child of God. all throughout the New Testament, the writers are constantly addressing folks as saints. Paul almost starts every letter to the saints at Colossae, to the saints at Philippi. That's who we are as believers in Christ. So that's our new identity. We've been made new creatures in Christ. We're new creations. And that is such a radical change that God gave us a new identity. We've been born again into the family of God. And I think this is an important discussion point. When we came into this world, we were born of our mom and dad, but we were a part of kind of the family of Adam. Mm-hmm. So as Adam became in the fall, so we entered into this world in the same way. So we were lost. We were dead spiritually. We were sinners by calling. Now the gospel message comes and hits our hearts. We respond to that gospel message in faith. We're born again. I said you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Well, we're born again into the family of God. So we are no longer identified with Adam, lost, sinner. We're now identified with Christ, fully alive, saved, child of God, saint by calling. Mm-hmm. So we are in Christ. Because we're in Christ, we have a new identity. Now, Paul called himself the chief of sinners. And the reason he did that was to give us an incredible example and illustration of the far-reaching nature of the love of God. Mm-hmm. Paul was a guy who blasphemed the name of Jesus Christ. Paul was a guy that was persecuting the church, persecuting people who had identified with Jesus Christ. He was fuming as he went up the road to Damascus. He was ready to drag any and every Christian that he encountered out of their streets, bring out of their homes, bring them back down to Jerusalem, put them in jail, and persecute them. He wanted Christianity gone once and for all. Yeah. And so he described himself as the chief of sinners. But to the chief of sinners, the mercy of God came.
Yes.
The patience of God came, and it changed Paul from a blasphemer to a proclaimer, from a persecutor to a friend. That's the power of the gospel, from a sinner, from the chief of sinners, to a saint by calling. So we have to recognize that we were once sinners, we were saved by grace, now we're children of God. And we're to live as children of God in this world. If we keep self-identifying as sinners, we're going to struggle with sin. But when we realize that we've been changed, that we have a new identity, as we start really growing deep into that identity, we're going to see ourselves actually living as who we really are in Christ.
Yeah, Richard. That's one of the hallmarks of all of these Bible stories, and in particular, people like Paul and Peter, they were always honest with where they came from, what their weaknesses had been. They didn't revel in it. They didn't wallow in it. So there was no shame and there was no pride. It just is what it was. But because of this change due to Jesus Christ, they are a completely new person, a new creation, as Paul calls us. And so therefore, they could look back on their history and say thank you, rather than to hit the preaching circuit to talk about how bad they used to be.
Yeah, and let me
it's
read
how good Jesus is.
Yeah, and let me read this passage out of John, 1 John chapter 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. So what does God call us? Children of God. What should we call ourselves? The exact same thing, children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Yeah.
Talk about the hope that we have.
Indeed.
So embrace this new identity in Christ. You are a child of God. As you embrace it, as you let your faith grow deep and what you have become in Christ, you're going to actually see that behavior changing to reflect your true identity.
Yeah, Shelley, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And thanks for writing to us through Facebook. And friends, if you have a question, you can do that as well. Right now, though, open lines 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks. Let's go down to Bastrop, Texas, and talk with Aaron. Hi, Aaron. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
How are you doing today?
We're doing well. What's on your mind, my friend?
I got a question for you. I heard a preacher say it on the weekend, and I'm going to turn off the radio and listen to the answer. My question is, can you be in relationship with Jesus but out of fellowship with him? And the illustration that he gave is you can be married just like a marriage. You and your wife can be in a married relationship, but you can be sleeping in the bed and she can be sleeping on the couch, so you're not in fellowship. So my question is, can you be in fellowship, in relationship with Jesus, but out of fellowship with him? I'm going to get off the phone and listen to your answer.
Well, Aaron, thanks for your question. Yeah. It's really a good question, and I think significant as far as our day-to-day living is concerned as children of God. So some people say that you can lose your salvation, and they teach that. I don't think that's what the Bible teaches. Once you're saved, you're saved. Why? Because Christ's work was complete.
Yes.
He took away all sin. He was buried. He was raised back to life. When he comes to you with this gospel message, you respond in faith. You're declared righteous. You receive forgiveness, and he comes to live inside of you. And so you live because he lives.
Yes.
And he's not going to lose his life. He's never going to die because he's never going to die. You're never going to die. That's the assurance of salvation. But some people teach you can lose it. Well, the only way to lose it is to sin and to really make God mad at you. So mad that he spits you out, basically. Mm-hmm. Well, if you say, well, that can't happen, but you can lose fellowship, what you're saying is that God gets so mad at you that he turns his back on you. Now you're out of fellowship. Well, that's not true about God. He never turns his back on you. And as a matter of fact, the Word of God actually equates salvation and fellowship.
Yes.
So if you're saved, you're in the fellowship. If you're lost, you're out of fellowship. It's just that black and white, a binary thing. So if you're lost, you're out of fellowship with God. If you're saved, you're in fellowship with God. And that can never change. You're constantly in fellowship with God. Now, you may feel like you're a million miles away. You may feel all of those sort of things, but that does not negate the truth. God doesn't feel those things. God never feels a million miles away from you. Why? Because he's truth, and he knows what truth is. He's alive, living inside of you. All of your sins have been taken away. You've been declared righteous. So God is going to always act towards you based on truth, based on love, based on grace, based on forgiveness. So God is always, treating you in his favor.
Yes.
You're never outside of his favor, so you're never outside of his fellowship. So here's what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, a great passage. He says, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God himself is the one that keeps us in fellowship with him.
Yeah.
And if he says we're in fellowship with his Son, guess what? We're in fellowship with his Son, and we can count on that being a forever thing. We will never be out of fellowship with God. We'll never be out of relationship with God. We'll never lose salvation. Why? Because God has guaranteed that for us in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
That's good news.
That is good news, and thanks for sharing it.
You are welcome.
That's what we do every day at Basic Gospel for Gospel Friends, and we're glad that you've joined us for this particular edition. We want to say thanks to those of you who have written to us but through Facebook, our Facebook page. And if you have a question you'd like to pose, can't get to the phone while we're actually in the air live, Facebook is a good way to do it, as well as dropping us an email at bob@basicgospel.net. I also want to remind you that we do have this wonderful new resource, Richard's Message, The High Cost of Legalism. This CD will help you identify those things that will hinder you from fully believing and trusting in Jesus, along with practical help to guide you into the fullness of God's rest. The High Cost of Legalism, yours for a gift to Basic Gospel, and all you need to do to obtain yours, simply click donate at basicgospel.net. That's our regular website, basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob and Richard of the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.